Dear kind and righteous Father, we are thankful for this new day you have given us, this other opportunity, Lord, that is before us at this time to be able to share the gospel truth of your son, Jesus Christ. Lord, we are thankful for this medium that you have blessed us to have, and we are thankful that we've been able to use this technology in such a way, Lord, where through it we can bring honor and glory to you. We pray, Lord, for those listening this evening, that if they're joining us for the first time, we pray that something is shared with them this evening that may prick their heart. Lord, if there was someone who was seeking truth this evening, we pray, Lord, that Brother Robinson communicate to them the necessity of your son dying on the cross, and that they need to be bathed in his blood, immersed in baptism, so that they can have their sins remitted. Thankful, Lord, for the church of Christ, the church that your son died for, purchased with his own blood and built, the only church you've ever authorized. We pray, Lord, that if it be within your permissive will, Lord, to bless us with the increase on this evening. Lord, we also ask that you be patient with those who are listening who may not be right with you, who may still have sin in their lives. Lord, we ask that something is said this evening that prick their hearts, Lord, and make them repent before it is eternally and lasting too late. Pray, Lord, that you continue to bless this ministry to grow. We pray, Lord, that the messages that are heard on this medium, Lord, are lessons that are pleasing and acceptable in thy sight. Thank you for those working to make this gospel meeting what it is, those working behind the scenes who put in so much time, Lord, day and night, making sure that the things are in place to be able to do this night after night. Bless us all. In your son's name we pray.
Amen. Thank you, Brother Fonda. We are very thankful that God has blessed us to have you as our co-host, and we thank you so very much for the time you dedicate to this cause. We want to say to those who are on the call tonight who are not members of the Church of Christ and Brother Tommy Brook, host minister, want to welcome you to our call. We want you to know that you're the VIP our call, meaning that you are a very important person to us. And the fact that we know that you're not a member of the Church of Christ, and we want you to know what we believe and why we believe it in the Churches of Christ. We believe that the Bible is right, and every word of the Bible is right. Tonight, we have a great speaker, the person Brother Urs Robertson, and he's the minister of the Eastside Church of Christ there in Hawkins, Texas. And we're so thankful to have him to volunteer his time for 30 minutes. And we pray that you would now open your Bibles and take notes of the things he talked about as he tell us the truth about why Jesus said, if I be lifted up. Brother Robinson, tell us the truth about this subject.
Give it honor unto God, appreciation to Holland Heights Church of Christ, Brother Tommy Brooks, your minister, architect, and facilitator of the gospel call, and co-host Brother Anthony Flunder, my family, fellow Christians, to you, the listeners, you are, without any doubt, our honored guest. I've been given the topic, the truth about why Jesus said, if I be lifted up. This comes out of John 12:32, and if I be lifted up from the earth, will draw all men unto me. I'm leaving you with 3 points today. I want to make sure that you take time and go back and listen to them as we go through them. The first one is not lifted up, and the second one is sacrificial substitution and be lifted up. The cost Christ paid as a sacrificial lamb for our salvation is tremendous. This is quite often misunderstood, truly unappreciated, and many are rejecting it and will reject it until they die. When I look at this statement written in John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. This is so profound that God would give his son to save us, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. This is something to think about now. When I look at this, I remember that God's love for us was so great. Matter of fact, his love was so great that the plan to save us was designed and orchestrated and set up before the creation of the worlds. When I look at 1 Peter 1:20, it said, who verily was foreordained. It was foreordained that Jesus would die before the worlds were created to save us from our sins before the foundation of the world, but was manifest in these last times for you. You must remember that over 4,000 years went into being before Christ came. He came at that point. We're in about the 6,000 years from the creation. So Jesus was to come in at a designated point in time, and this is God's process of saving us. Please listen to what it says in Romans 5:8. But God commended his love towards us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died. When I go back to Genesis 1:26 and 27, I see where God made us in his image and his likeness. When I go to Genesis 2:7, we have living souls. Those souls are given to us perpetually. We are to take care of those souls. Those souls will live forever in one state of health, in the peace or in torment. We start in the garden, and we see where Adam and Eve sinned. And we see where they partook of the tree of knowledge of good and evil, where they were told not to partake of, but they did it anyway. At a tremendous cost, what they did threw us all into sin. Please listen to what Romans 5:18 says. Therefore, as by the offense of one, judgment came upon all men to condemnation. Even so, by the righteousness of one, the free gift came upon all men unto justification of life. Romans 5:18. So when they did what they did, they threw us into sin and they put us in a position that we had to have a Savior to save us from our condition. They sowed leaves on themselves, thinking they were hiding their nudity, because once they knew good and evil, they knew they were naked. But God was not pleased with that, so he killed animals and dressed them in skin to hide their nudity. We are still in the process as men, doing things to make things look right religiously. We follow our own ideologies, our own methods, our own mindsets. We have the sinner's prayer. We said, let God into your heart. All of these things are not necessarily what God is saying, and we need to make sure that we search the scripture to find out God's method, God's plan for us being saved. They were put out of the garden. An angel was put there and a sword was put there, turning around to keep them from getting back in, because had they gone in to the garden and partaken of that tree of knowledge of good and evil and lived, they would have had us in perpetual sin. So God put them out and gave us an opportunity to be saved. Listen to me, please, as we look at not lifted up. And I want you to think in terms of this as being cancer. How do you deal with cancer? Our souls are cancerous with sin. And how do we get rid of that sin? Because we will never go to heaven with all those sins, so we needed a way to get past those sins. The Jews were worried about Christ's resurrection. And so what they did, he had stated after 3 days, I will rise again. So they went to Pilate and asked Pilate to secure his grave to make sure he could not get out. There are two things in mind, if he was resurrected or if they stole his body to look like he had been raised. And Pilate told them to put a watch on there, go your way and make it as sure as you can, Matthew 27:65. Now, after the resurrection, they went back to the soldiers and asked them to lie for them, that they would give them money if they say the body had been taken. And listen to this, what it says here in Matthew 28:12-13. And when they were assembled with the elders and had taken counsel, they gave large money unto the soldiers, saying, say ye, his disciples came by night and stole him away while we slept. How evil those men were. These are the same men, the chief priests and chief high priests and leaders and all those men, Sadducees and Pharisees. These men had already worked together. They were working against the truth that they already had. They did not want it to come out that Christ had been raised. Please listen now. There's no salvation, no resurrection, there's no faith. If there's no faith, there's no hope. If there's no hope, there's no judgment. If there's no judgment, there's no blotting out of our sins. If there's no blotting out of our sins, there's no sanctification, and certainly then there is no heaven. So we see how God has set up his plan and put it in place that we need to obey it according to what he would have us do, not according to how we feel. Just because I think something is right does not necessarily mean that it's right. So I've got to make sure as I search the scripture that I know what God says versus what man is saying. Now, with now talking about the second part, remember I said there are three parts, not lifted up, sacrificial substitution, and the last one is be lifted up. So I've got to have somehow, some way to have something to take away my sins. When I go back and I look at it, we have medications that we use for different things like cancer. We have high blood pressure, sleep difficulties. Those medicines we take for a temporary period. But you need to take, theoretically they're designed, as long as you have that particular illness, you'll have to take that medicine over and over all during the year. Some people back away from their medicine and have strokes and other things happen to them. But we have been given something that's called animals, and animals were to be sacrificed, and that was to hide our sins until Jesus came. But listen to what the Bible says in Hebrews 10, 3 and 4. But in those sacrifices, there is a remembrance again made of sins every year. So they had, as we take medication weekly, sometimes daily, this sin application only applied yearly. There was always a rolling back. Every year, there had to be a sacrifice to hide our sins. For it's not possible that the blood of bulls and of goats should take away sins. So none of those things were pleasing to God. God didn't want it. Let's go back to the garden. Let's go back to Abel's sacrifice and Cain's. Cain's was rejected. He did not use an animal, the first one of the flock. God rejected it, and we know that he killed his brother because he got angry. Then we come to Noah's in Genesis 8:20. Noah made a sacrifice after coming out of the ark, after being on the water all that period of time to God, using clean animals. Then we go to Genesis 22, and we see God waking up his son, Abraham, and telling him to take his only son, Isaac. Of course, he had another son at that time, but he's talking about the main one, I promise, to Mount Moriah. 3 days, Abraham and his servants and his son walked or rode to that designated location. As they were going up, Isaac noticed something was missing. He knew there was not an animal. He asked the question, and Abraham told him, God will provide. He knew that an animal was always to be sacrificed for sins. And so as we look at this happening, when they get up there, finally, Abraham pulls his knife out, and he's ready to kill his son, and an angel of the Lord stopped him, and he saw a ram, and we call that statement the ram in the bush. He sacrificed the ram, which ended up being a substitute for Isaac. God has been doing this continuously all through the scriptures. We go back and we search how God's plan is working. So we need to make sure that we're following the methodology that God, if I be lifted up, I will draw all men unto me. We need to make sure we are following the example. In 2 Chronicles chapter 7, verse 5, when Solomon has finished building the temple and all the great work that he's done, he sacrificed 2,000 oxen and 120,000 sheep. This looked good. But still, it was not something that God was pleased with. But he did what he did in obedience for that period of time, because as it stated in Hebrews 10:1, this was a shadow of the things that were to come. And when we come into the light, we find exactly what's needed and how we are supposed to do it according to what God is saying. Listen to me in Acts 2:38. Then Peter said unto them, repent and be baptized, every one of the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. Now, I'm going to stop a minute, and I'm going to give you the gospel invitation, because I want to make sure that you understand it with clarity. This is God's plan. In Romans 10, 14, and 15, they're talking about a preacher that's preaching the gospel. Then I hear them talking about something that's called the gospel, coming out of 1 Corinthians 15, 3 and 4. How Christ died, how Christ was buried, and how Christ was resurrected. Then I see Hebrews 11, 6, talking about faith. Do you really believe that God sent his son into the world? Do you really believe that Christ died, that Christ was buried, that Christ was resurrected? Do you really believe that? If you do, you need to repent, Luke 13, 3, and then you need to confess the mighty name that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. And lastly, as many reject, but God commands us to be baptized. Acts 2:38, 1 Peter 3:21, Galatians 3:27, and many other scriptures verifying the fact that we must be baptized and added to the body of Christ. Listen to what it says in Acts 22:16, reinforcing the fact that baptism is essential for salvation. Now, why carest thou, this is talking to Paul, that Saul at that time, arise and be baptized and wash away thy sins, calling on the name of the Lord, Acts 22:16. So the process and the plan has been put in place. It's up to us to be willing to accept it or reject it. But we want to understand that those bulls and those goats and all those things that were used in the Old Testament were not sufficient. God did not want that, and he let it happen for that period of time. But now he demands that Christ come into this world to die for our sins. If you would, go to Job for me, and let's look at chapter 1, verse 5. As it was so when the days of their feasting were gone about, that Job sent. Now Job had 7 sons and 3 daughters, and he would send to make sure that they, if they had sinned, that they were to be protected. Then Job sent and sanctified them and rose up early in the morning and offered burnt offerings according to the number of them all. But Job said, it may be that my sons have sinned and cursed God in their hearts. Thus did Job continually. Job 1:5. So we see the process was put in. But I want you to go back and listen to Hebrews 10:4 through 6. For it is not possible that the blood of bulls and of goats should take away sins. God did not want the animals, even though they were used. He commanded it, but that was not his final product. Something had to happen later on that would go back and take care of all the sins that had been committed, and that had to be Christ. Wherefore, when he came into the world, he said, sacrifice and offering thou wouldest not, but a body thou hast prepared me, and burnt offerings and sacrifice of sin thou hast had no pleasure. God did not want it, he did not command it, nor did he accept it. I want you to think about this now as we look at Gethsemane when Jesus is in agony. We remember now this commitment between the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit as to what was going to happen for the salvation of man occurred before the worlds were created. When people come up with these new ideologies and philosophies about how to be saved, we need to understand that that plan was put in before you were born, before you were thought about. And so we need to understand that we must follow and obey that plan as according to was written. And he went a little farther, Jesus in agony as he's getting ready to die, knowing he's going to be crucified, knowing he's going to be beaten, knowing he's going to be scorned, knowing that all those things are going to happen to him. There was a war between the human and the divine. And he went a little farther and fell on his face and prayed. He carried the disciples with him, carried the three up closer to where he was as he prayed to God, and prayed, oh, my Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. In other words, he's saying, if we can come up with another plan that I don't have to die, let's do it. Because I don't really, at this point, this human nature is hard to deal with. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as thou will. Matthew 26:39. And we know eventually Christ died, and he said in these words, everything that was written about him from Genesis up to that point, he said, it is finished. He gave up his life that we can live. It is finished. And then we also know that the soldier came and pierced him in the side, and out came both water and blood. The blood bought the church of Christ, and this is where we need to be trying to get into, because it is his wife, his bride, and we need to understand what we need to do in order to become parts, a part of that church. Not one. Jesus said, upon this rock, I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Not them, but it. So we must understand that Christ built only one church. And so we must listen to do what we need to do, become a part. Now let me go back over it again. We have three things that we are talking about in the lesson. The first one is not lifted up. The second one is sacrificial substitutes. And then the last one is be lifted up. Keep in mind that if Christ is not lifted up, we are in sin. Now, I just want to stop a minute because I think we need to go back and look at this, because sometimes we forget what we've done. Now, in Galatians 5, 19 through 21, it talks about the sins that people commit: murder, fornication, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, deception, envy, reveling, wrath, heresy, and that's a few of them. Adultery, all of these are sins that men have committed against God. You committed in when you did or I did those acts, we committed them against God. And God was not pleased with what we did. And so now he sent his son in to die for us to hide those sins that we have committed. Listen to what it says in Romans 3:23. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Then it says in Romans 6:23, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. So we must pursue Christ on the terms that God has designated, keeping in mind his methodology, his process. We must make sure that we understand how he's doing it, what he's doing, and what he means when he's doing what he does. Please listen to Philippians 2, 6 through 8. And this is what makes it so great, is that God loved us so much that he made us in his image and his form, gave us living souls that are perpetual, then turned around and brought us into this world. And we live in this world. Now he's saying, I'm not going to just send anyone in to save you. God the Father sent God the Son to save us from our sin. God sent Jesus from heaven to come into this world and live for approximately 30 years to die for our sins. How powerful. He didn't send an angel. He didn't send an animal. He sent his son to die for our sins. This is talking about being lifted up. When Christ is lifted up, he'll draw all men unto him. So he did that to save us from our state, our condition. He sent him into this world to go through it. And listen to Philippians 2 again. Who, being in the form of God, thought it not be robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant. Listen to what Christ is doing. He's humbling himself, not being as equal to God, but took on the form of a servant and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. So when I look and see what Christ has done, what God has done, it should change my whole mindset. As we are getting to the be lifted up, please listen to this in John 3:14-15. And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have eternal life. This comes out of Numbers 21, about verses 4 through 9. When the children of Israel were coming out and passing through different places, they began to murmur against God and against Moses. And God sent fiery serpents in among them. And they killed those, many of those people were killed. And some of the people went to God, went to Moses and asked him to pray. And asked God for a deliverance from those fiery serpents that were biting them. And so Moses prayed to God, and God told him to make a pole and put on there a fiery serpent upon it and lift it up. Whenever someone was bitten, all they had to do was look up to that fiery serpent and they would be healed. And now we have Christ on the cross. All we have to do is be willing to accept the cross, accept his death, burial, and resurrection, accept the methodology that God has set up for us to be saved. That's all we have to do. And so God has put it in place that we follow his method, his plan, his process, his program according to what he would want us to do. Now I want you to look at 1 Peter 2:23-24. Who, when he was reviled, don't you realize that when he first was taken by the high priest, they abused him mentally, physically. Then he went from one high priest to another high priest's home. And then finally they carried him to the judgment hall there where Pilate was. He went through all those circumstances and situations. And the first bad thing about it was when Judas came to kiss him, to identify him, to make sure they knew who to get. Don't you know that hurt the Lord? 3 years plus, he had been working with Judas, but he knew Judas would betray him. But it is such a sad thing to turn on God when he's given you so much. Who, when he was reviled not again. when he suffered, he threatened not, but committed himself to him that judges righteously, who is his own self, bear our sins in his own body on the tree, that are being dead to sin should live unto righteousness, by whom stripes you're healed. God has given us this process that we can be saved, that we can live righteously before him, and we can be able to walk in eternal peace with him. And I want to say this real fast as I'm going through this, and I want you to listen to this. We're looking for assurances. We're looking for salvation, security, peaceful, eternal living. We're looking for a place that all the former things that we've done would have passed away. We don't want to have to be accountable for those things that we've done. We know that God has given us a system to take care of it, and we want to use and enjoy what God has given to us. And I want to just share this with you because sometimes when we look at this passage, if you would go with me to Revelation 21, we're going to look at verse 4. As you're looking at verse 4, I want you to be thinking about it. This is where the former things have passed away, and God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes. There shall be no more death, neither sorrow, nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things have passed away. But if I look at that one, I see where everything's passed away. But I want you to see in 21:3 who we're going to be in the presence of. God created man, created a paradise for him to live on, and when he sinned in that paradise, he was put out into the world to work. In John 14, Jesus said, I go to prepare a place for you. God has prepared a new heaven and a new earth for us to live on with him. Listen to what it's saying in 21:3. And I heard a voice out of heaven saying, behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them. They shall be his people, and God himself shall be with them and be their God. Isn't it a wonderful thing to realize that we will be in the presence of God and be able to spend eternal life with God? This is so beautiful. It's so obvious that God loves us so much that he's willing to do everything. In closing, I want you to look at Romans 6, 3, and 4. And you remember the passage that we read a few minutes ago? So far, all have sinned and come short. Romans 6, 3, 23. The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Romans 6, 23. But this is how I'm saved. Remember we just talked about the gospel imitation here. Believe, repent, confess, and be baptized. That's the process that when you go to Acts, you see every person that's saved, they went through those same steps to become members of the body of Christ, the members of the church of Christ. They didn't deviate. There's no deviation today. Nobody walk around and tell God to come into your heart to save you or say the sinner's prayer. That's not God's methodology. That's man. That was not done before the creation. This is something that's come in these latter years. So we must stay with what's written. Now, please watch Romans 6, 3, and 4 as we close. Know you not that so many as you, as of us, were baptized into Jesus Christ, were baptized into his death. Therefore, we are buried with him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so, we should walk in newness of life. Isn't that so powerful that God has designed that as Christ died, as Christ was buried, and then Christ was resurrected? What God is saying in this Romans 6, 3, and 4, and as people reject the very thing that puts us into the body of Christ, the very thing that saves us from ourselves, the very same method that God has given us to be saved, men are rejecting it. But baptism does now save us. And so we must follow that plan, that process. Someone will say, well, preacher, we don't have to do anything to be saved. That's not true. You cannot work your way to heaven, but you must obey your way to heaven. So it's an obedience that you're saved. As we close, I want to share this one scripture with you, and I want you to look at it very carefully, coming out of James 2:24-26 as we close. As we close, hear the gospel, believe what you've heard, repent and confess Christ as your Lord and Savior, be willing to be baptized, which adds you to the one church, the church of Christ, and be faithful then unto death. Don't let anybody, anyone, anything take your salvation from you. Here's the point that lets us know that faith and works are tied together. You see then how that by works a man is justified, and not by faith only. Likewise also was not Rahab the harlot justified by works, when she had received the messengers and had sent them out another way. For as a body without the spirit is dead, So faith without works is dead also. James 2, 24 through 26. So those people that are telling you, you don't have to do anything. All you have to do is call Jesus into your heart. You can keep on lying, committing to adultery, fornication, witchcraft, pride, drunkenness, on drugs, and all those other things and go to heaven. Don't believe that. God expects you to change, and we must do everything that we can to get our relationship with God right. Is there any question that you might have about what has been said, whether you're a member or not? Please feel free to call at any time. Please call those in the right to ask the question to find out what was right and what was wrong. Because you don't want to stand before Jesus unprepared. You don't want to do what Adam and Eve did after they sinned. They put fig leaves on to hide their nudity. Don't put on the denominationalism and stand up before God, because you will be naked before God. We love you and want you to be a member of the Church of Christ. Please take heed where you stand, lest you fall. God bless you, and thank you.
Thank you, Brother Robertson. We are very appreciative for the message, and I'm so thankful that God allowed his son to be lifted up on that cross in my place. Thank you so very much. We pray that everyone on the call tonight that have heard this gospel truth, that you will consider obeying and being baptized, as Brother Robertson has said, and be added to the true church. If you want us to help you with that, to find a place for you to be baptized, or get back with the person who put you on the call and tell them you're ready to be washed in the blood of the Lamb, and you're thankful that Jesus was lifted up for you as well. And if you want a Bible class, email us at nationwidegospelcall@yahoo.com. That's nationwidegospelcall@yahoo.com, and we will make sure we set that Bible class up with you, or get back with the person who invited you, and they'll ensure that you get a Bible study. But however, you may want to go back and listen to other messages. You may have questions about baptism all through the month of May, June, and July. Now in July, we're ending the month of July. We have all these recorded sermons on our website. All you have to do is go to HollandHeightsCoc.net. That's HollandHeightsCoc.net. on the World Wide Web, and there you can find all of the information you need there as well. And so at this time, let us pray to God. Our Father in heaven, we thank you for your blessings of light. We are very grateful for tonight, and we pray your blessings upon our speaker, his wife, and his family. Be with him, Lord. Continue to bless his ministry. Thank you for allowing him to be your vessel tonight to preach unto us this truth about your son being lifted up. And Father, we thank you for him, for giving his life, for sending him. We thank him for giving his life. And we pray, Father, that we never take it for granted, but we always be thankful that Jesus took our place. He became sin for us on that cross. And we thank you for the greatest love ever been shown to us, to mankind, and that was him dying on the cross. Lord, we pray for our visitors, those who are on the call, who've been listening repeatedly night after night. We pray that they get to a point to where they just say, you know, I've heard enough. I've heard enough. And I need to be born again, or I need to be baptized. I want to be in the true church. Father, open their hearts. Take away those obstacles. Help them to just hear your truth and to receive it with meekness, understanding it's able to save their souls. We love you, and we thank you for all you do. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. We thank everybody for joining us this week. It is the last night of this week. And we pray you have a great weekend, a great worship service on Sunday. And we pray that you're prepared to join us again Monday night from 9 to 9:30 Central Standard Time, Gospel Meeting, via conference call. And it's my prayer tonight that you've enjoyed the message and that you will enjoy your night's rest. Have a good night.